Okay.
Yeah, something turned up.
By the way, what? John, like, so Nick's audio last time, I didn't hear any banging out of Nick. Nick was beautiful. What the fuck do you do in the background, by the way?
What, he's jerking off?
He's just, wait, just the whole thing is just like, it's like, John, get out!
Oops, I didn't think I was doing that.
Twitchy fucker. Right. I'm going to get you a fidget wheel things.
Welcome to the Spin Dash Retro Gaming Podcast. Prepare yourself for the joy of classic gaming. Fired straight into your delicate little ear holes. Fire away.
All right. Well, welcome, ghouls and ghosts, to another episode of Spin Dash. I, Sir Nicholas, will be one of three hosts. I'm joined by Princess Jojo. That's you, John.
Heyo.
I know you're not drinking tonight, but did you have something edible by any chance?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I had some good dessert. Yeah, still dry January over here. Got 10 more days. It's been pretty good. You know, once you get past a couple weeks, it's easier. Unless you have a stressful day, and then you just want that like 5 o'clock beer, but I've been able to resist, so I can see the finish line. I'm good to go.
See the finish line. You'll be a wet princess soon enough.
Yeah.
Also joining us tonight is the co-host, King of the Demon Realm, Matt.
Ah, see, that's better than some of the other ones you've given me lately, where it's a little on the soft end. Hi.
How you doing? What are you drinking tonight?
Well, here's the thing. So, like, last week was a goddamn shit show. So, I drank everything I could find. So, literally, all I had in the fridge was a Truly that was left over from the summer. And I don't think these go skunk. So, I have a raspberry lime Truly that I'm drinking tonight. And then that's the end of it. Those seltzers are gone. So, like, we don't even have soda to mix to make a mixed drink. Like, it's out. So it's like I can do shot. Well, that's not what I mean. I did bourbon in the past, like two of them, and I'm like, well, I can't come in with
better
bourbon again. Yeah. So I was like, I'll mix it up. I'm not a hard alcohol guy. I like beer. That really is. I mean, I had a whole bunch of Gagans, and I just drank it all. So
I like everything.
Yeah, you're kind of a wine guy. Wine is kind of your go-to.
Yeah, but wine lately, it's been because we both like it. So, you know. It's easy to buy.
You run into the problem that I run into, right? If it's in the house, you're going to drink it. You don't really care.
Right. And it's open. So like, oh yeah, that just, it's an open bottle. You know, it feels guilty. But I got a little carried away with some of the nicer beers. And so we saved on the budget with some wine from Naked Wines. So that's way cheaper than buying a 4-pack that costs $18.
It's amazing what some of these craft. I mean, I get it. I get why they cost that much, but
some of them are over. So I bought beer today for this because all I had was Baxter's.
Duh,
those are good.
I'm not a big Baxter's.
What?
I'm not a fan of Baxter's.
Bastards.
Nah, I agree with Nick for once.
They're a little more over. They're a little too more. They're too much bitterness for me. The aftertaste, like the aftertaste, doesn't sit well to me.
Cut me.
And it could be just the back that I'm drinking. So I bought a good old faithful PBR. Bob. It's a solid. I wish I drank more. Everyone says I should drink more.
Oh, that's a
everyone
goal.
Everyone has like. we'll go break this down on a weekly basis. How many drinks do you usually have on a weekly basis?
Matt, you first.
I'm not. It's tough to say. It's like one of those questions they ask you at the doctor's, and you're like, you look back and you can tell the doctor's judging you because the doctor believes you're lying. But
no judging. We're not judging. Could you say you could solidly throw back a drink a week?
Oh, a drink a week? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It depends. Like
John, we already know you're a lost show. Yeah, we can probably say two, three bottles a week.
If it's in the fridge, I will have at least one a night if it's in the fridge. But
I could say, honestly, for me, maybe I drink a beer a month.
Wow. Wow, that, yeah. that fosters when that magic day happens is really going to put you in some problem areas.
Well, you think every year when we have our big thing, like our big guys weekend, that it does not take me long to get drunk. It really
You're
doesn't.
Just a cheap date.
I push through. Oh, super cheap, super cheap. You know, but yeah, it is how it is. Everything else? Anything else going on with you guys? Everything else? How everyone been doing?
Well, so
pandemic's almost over.
So I'm kind of bummed that we're recording tonight because Nikki and I had some quality TV we were going to sit down and watch, and it didn't. It's not happening tonight. So
what was that going to be?
We both realized that. I'm curious if you guys watched this complete and utter fucking trash in school. But I don't know what us got on. You ever heard of the show Tomes and Talismans?
No. No.
It was a public education show that they had us watch in school, and it's like a post-apocalyptic show to teach kids how to use the Dewey Decimal System. It is the dumbest fucking thing on earth, and we realized it was on YouTube, so we were going to sit down and watch and laugh our balls off at how stupid this show is we used to have to watch in school. So if anyone else out there has watched this complete and utter gutter trash of a public, I mean, it's like Mad Max, and the only thing that will save these people is they have to learn how to use the card catalog. Oh, it's completely and utterly fucking stupid. But so that is what we were gonna do tonight, and they're like, "No, we're recording."
Riveting, man.
I mean, if we weren't recording, I'd probably be deep into Breath of the Wild.
I can't believe you're here.
Yeah.
I know. It's seriously, I'm like kind of angry at myself. I'm like, oh, do we really have to do, like, I love this podcast. I love talking to you guys, but I really want to play right now. Because right now I'm like, I need to get the fucking Master Sword. I just need to get that. I'm having a bitch of a time with Thunderblight. He's a real cunt.
Durians, my friend. Just yep. Chock full of durians.
Get the hearty yeah. durian combo, right? You put five yeah. in the soup. Or five in the cooking thing?
Ugh, I don't know. Like he's just a real bitch.
That's how you do
I
it.
I hear he's like the toughest one of all of them, right?
Yeah.
He's my second one. I haven't gone to the other.
Oh, dude, do the other last two.
Yeah, save that guy.
Well, I heard there's a huge, huge like spike difference at the end.
What do you mean
for him?
I don't know.
Like, I guess it's one Reddit post I was reading said that. It's like a escalating, like, hard factor. So if you save him at the very end, he's going to even be harder. Like, I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I have him activated, but I could probably just leave him be and just go to other two for now and just finish them up.
I like that you use the phrase escalating hard factor. I want to know if we can incorporate that in the show.
Like, it just, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's not a rubber band system. You know, in racing or there, it's just like it progressively gets like, okay, you beat this boss, and it doesn't matter what order. Okay, the next boss is gonna be harder, even if technically if you did them first, they'd probably be easier. Like as you progress, the game just gets harder and harder, just for the fact of as okay, he's getting better equipment. We're gonna have to make this game harder.
I can't remember the order that I did him in. I know the elephant was the first one.
Yeah,
did the elephant.
The camel,
easy.
I think, was the last one for me.
Because that's where the thunder one is. He's in the desert.
Is that one?
Yeah. Did that.
God, that game.
But I'm enjoying the game. It's a fun game. Like, it has a lot of... I just hate the weapons break. I think that's stupid.
That was the hardest thing for me.
And I think you need more... Like, you have all these... You need more... I don't know if you can do it because I'm still early in the game. Can you get more weapon spots and more armor?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Inventory? Okay.
Catch the Korok seed, guys. Right?
Yeah, I got...
You changed the name to the
10 seeds now.
The giant Korok guy. And for every...
And he just gives you space.
Yeah, for every 5, what is it, 10, you get another slot?
That sounds right. It's been so long. It's been a whole lifetime.
2 years. Yeah.
yeah. Well, it's fun. Having fun with it. But let's get back to the brass tacks of games. Anything for pickups, guys? John?
Link's Awakening DX I got from someone on Marketplace. Kind of sketchy, but I got the game that I lost for the Game Boy, so that's back in my possession.
But you didn't have the DX version. You had the original version initially, right?
I did. And somebody has that in my gray brick, and I don't know who it is.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I let them borrow it like 4 years ago, and I never saw it again.
All right. How about you, Matt? I know you're trying to get something before this episode. Were you able to?
I got nothing. So I came close. I came close. I've got some eBay bucks that I've got to burn through, or I'm going to lose them. So I'm like, I might end up buying an N64 game that you're going to be adding to your list and just get it out of the way. That way I've got it. I don't have to worry about it. Or there's another game that I was thinking about buying, and I think I mentioned on the show before. I want to make John play a dungeon crawler just so I can listen to him bitch. So the game is Arcana. I think I mentioned this on another one. I almost bought that because I want to put John.
That looks funky, man.
What does the front look like though?
I don't even know. I think it's like a girl.
I kind of remember. Is it a girl with like a staff?
Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
I do remember. I think I remember playing that game. Yeah.
I want to make.
It's a unique dungeon crawler.
I like dungeon crawlers, and I think John would hate it. I talked about doing like adding Shin Megami Tensei to the list, and I think he would just. Really? I think he'd roll on the floor and just vomit on himself. So I'm like, I might want to. I want to just like dial it back just a tad. Like
Is it more difficult than the game we just played?
There's nothing in the history of the universe. That's all. That's not true. But it's pretty fucking hard. I that's the. By far the biggest kick in the dick, Nick, you have given us so far.
Oh, I wish I researched this because I was like, this would be nice and easy. I could play on the Switch. But before we get to that, I had some pickups.
I want to hear them.
And I'll probably give a story on how I got the pickups because I actually didn't pay anything for the pickups.
That's the best kind.
Right? So I had a GBA SP, which was damaged, and I was going to replace the screen, but I never replaced the screen, and just don't have the funds to do the mod. Fuck you guys, stop
laughing.
I was
taking a drink midway through that, and you started talking about that fucking Game Boy.
So I sold that, and I also sold part of that, just because it was collecting dust as well. I sold it with the Game Gear that I got off the marketplace for like $3. It just didn't work. I didn't feel like resoldering it. So I sold that combination, a non-working for parts only, or...
As is?
Modification.
Did you fuck the guy as is, you fucker?
No, I said as is. I'm like, this, and you gotta repair it. I sold it for $30 online through Mercari, I think. And then I turned around and used that cash and bought a couple games off Mercari. So I ended up picking up... Case and Box, Sonic Spin Dash. Sonic Spinball.
That's your go-to.
And I love that game. It's a really good game. And other one is, because I'm a huge fan of the Bomberman games, I got a Bomberman game for my Game Boy. I think it's Bomberman GB is what it's called.
Never played it. Nice pickup.
No, me neither.
I thought I got the PAL version because looking at this looks like the PAL version, and it was $5. I'm like, checked out. I'm like, the PAL version is like $20. I'm like, that I might turn and burn that real quickly, and it's not. So it's worth probably like $8, but you know, good game overall. I checked both; work really well. Some pickups. Trying to add to the Sega collection a little bit because I now only have I have three games, and there's a couple more I want to really get besides like your traditional Sonic. I want to get like Toe Jam and Earl and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been finding because I looked at some Genesis games the other day. They're starting to ramp up. I was kind of hoping that the Genesis would kind of dodge all this like, you know, year 2020, 2021, you know, big price increase.
No, they're taking some hits. They're taking some increase because I see my collection increase too.
Yeah. On your Bomberman thing, you don't have to worry about the PAL thing on handhelds. It's
no. I was just hoping I got like a PAL version because I'm like, that'd just be cool because it was like $5. I'm like, $5 and $20 game. Why not?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Try to at least make sure the value is worth more than what I can get for. So, worst case, if I ever have to sell it, I can sell it and turn it and burn it. So, but yeah. So those are my pickups. I'm looking for cheap. Try to keep everything under, like, I was going to buy some, and they're still on there, John, by the way. I was going to buy some Game Gear games, even though I sold the Game Gear. So I was just going to turn and burn them, because it's from the same person, John, you bought from.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, $3 for all these? Hell yeah. So I was pricing them out, and I'm like, oh, they're about 60, 70 bucks worth of value in the games alone. Like, geez, I just turn and burn those and turn those into something more towards a collection. But she wanted $3 a piece. It's still worth it, but I'm like, do I really want to send John to a creepy place and have him pick up those games or not?
Yeah, I'm going to pick them up for you if you're going to flip them.
Yeah. Yeah, give him a piece of the cut.
Yeah, I would just flip him. I'd sell him to you for that price.
He's got
to
pay for the hepatitis that he's going to get from these sketchy places you're sending him.
I'm not buying things to flip them like that. I mean, yeah, I want to keep the video games that I get unless I have, you know, unless it's a lot and I wanted one game and the rest was just there, you know?
You're going to retro gaming hell, Nick.
This is why I'm in sales and you're not.
What's that?
That's why I'm in sales and you're not.
No, I've sold other shit before.
Can't always be a collector. Well, let's just jump right on into it with no weird non sequitur or anything of that nature. Guys, how about the kicking the balls I gave you this week?
I am very happy you picked this one. I am thrilled you picked it, and I knew that you didn't know what you were getting into when you just one day were like, we're going to play this, and you were so cocky and assertive. And I'm like, yes, he has no idea. And more importantly, John has no way to stop this, so this is happening.
You know, this was not as bad as, what was that Greek game you made us play?
Are you fucking kidding me?
You're really going all the way back there?
No, but...
Well, because I couldn't save state
Battle
that
Olympus.
Shit. I don't know.
This is like the hardest game we've ever had on this show, by far. And you're comparing it to that game, which I just like casually beat one day?
I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't beat Hydra. I'm going to never let that go. Or Medusa, not Hydra.
Yeah, no, that's not even, that's laughable compared to this thing. This game will put hair on your chest. This game is a man maker. It, man, good pick, Nick.
So for those wondering what the game we picked was, if I didn't allude to it in our title, is Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which was a transplant from, well, from the arcade originally, because it's an arcade game, to the Nintendo, and then to the Super Nintendo, which they upgraded some things, but also downgraded some things as well.
Hmm.
So, do you have the history of all that crap?
Well, the game was in... Yeah, I do have some of it. I'll probably need you to fill in, because you do better on notes than I do, Matt. The Japanese name was Chomo Kamira, pardon that, which translates to the Ultimate Demon World Village. Release date for this was 1991 by Capcom and published by Capcom as well. Its designer was Tokuro Fujiwara. Platforms you can get this on, obviously the SNES, Sega Saturn. This was also released on the PS1, PS2. Xbox, PSP, Virtual Console, Wii, PS3, and Xbox 360. I'm assuming for probably the PS1, PS2, Xbox, and PSP and PS3, it was probably on one of those big discs for Sega Editions or something like that. Best games of this, I'm sure.
Capcom has a habit of, they like to bundle their stuff. They do a lot of anthology, so I wouldn't be shocked by that.
But I didn't do any research before playing this game. I'm like, okay, I can buzz through this. This is easy. This should be boom, boom, boom. Negatory.
I got
this game was hard as a porn star's dick. There's no that was on.
Give me the old Peter North special.
Oh, this is Peter North special that was on the Viagra. Jesus. Oh.
So,
I mean, I had to put on beginners and I did beat it, but not without using rewind. Like, they're just going to put up front right there. I had to use rewind.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a whirlwind of just go boom, 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 boom. Like, I watched so many videos on how to do it. I'm like, oh, I can probably get this. Maybe there's a secret to it. No, it's just you just have to know you there. So not having any background with this game and not knowing how to play it. But I noticed something that it did play a lot like a arcade game. Just straight from the beginning. I mean, if you play this on any console, it does not play like a console game. It plays like an arcade game.
Well, that's its roots.
Yeah.
So it stuck true to its roots. But, you know, it was a fun game. I mean, I think everything about this game was really good. Something brief into the story of the game is Lucifer pretty much curses Arthur. So you're pretty much King Arthur in the game, and you're pretty much going through. And you ultimately, the princess is taken to the way to the demon realm, and you have to go and save her. And to find out, it actually wasn't Lucifer. Was it the other guy's name there?
In the other ones, I think it's Astaroth. In this, I can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't know who the big bad guy is in this.
Sardius.
Emperor Sardius, okay. Or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
They all kind of have the same story. If you play one, you've played kind of them all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, one thing I noticed, like, with this game, and this where it spoke a very arcade with me, was the level ups for weapons / your armor. Is there's just a random drop, and like it could be literally luck of the draw of just picking up the right. Picking up and hoping it drops so you make it through the level.
So how would you describe this? Like, what if you had to like find some rando on the street and be like, hey, you played this? Like, how would you explain, like, what genre would this
arcades,
be?
Arcade side scroller marathon. Cause that's what it feels like. You're just running. You like have to keep on going. Like I feel like you don't want to really stop.
I would view it as like a run and gun. Honestly, it's not Contra, but it has that run and gun feel to it where you're just like overwhelmed with bad guys. And
it's a swarm. It's crazy.
Well, do you guys take a look at the enemies list on this? I mean, it's a pretty big like list.
There's a lot of them.
So, but yeah, that's, I mean, some history I knew.
Yep.
Do you guys have any like... Matt, you probably would, of any memory of this. Did you play this as a kid at all?
So, no. So here's the thing, and I can kind of go on a whole other rant about the series. Because had you not picked this series, I really honestly think they were all the same. I played the NES one and absolutely hated it. And I really, beyond that, had no interest in the series because I hated it so much. And I found that the namings of them, how they named each one of the games, was so confusing. I thought they were all the same, just on different consoles. And that's absolutely not the case. Like, a side rant, and then I'm sorry for derailing this, but this series has like the dumbest naming convention short of like Final Fantasy or Rambo. Like, I don't know who the fuck decided how to title this. So I think you mentioned before, like, the name of the series in Japan is, like, Makemura. I can't remember the C word that's before that. But Makemura is what they all refer to it as. And that means the demon world village, right? So the first one, Ghosts and Goblins over there, is demon world village, right? Makes sense. First game, I'm on board with it. Over here, we have Ghosts and Goblins. I'm okay with that, too. That makes sense. The second game in the series is Ghouls and Ghosts. Over there, the translation is basically Great Demon World Village. So, okay, you know, the first one was regular, and now we have Great. That makes sense. That's a good idea for a sequel. Ghouls and Ghosts, okay, I get it. It's, you know, Ghost and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts. Like, we're moving on, second one. So then Super Ghouls and Ghosts comes out, right? Well, what is that? Is that a better remade version of Ghouls and Ghosts? Like, it makes no sense. Over there, it's Super Demon World Village. Okay, so we had Demon World Village, great Demon World Village, and Super. Okay, we're working our way up. Then there's the PSP one. It's Extreme Demon World Village. So, okay, that naming convention works. But this bullshit that we've got, like, Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, then Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins. Like, what the fuck series is this? Like, what? Who the fuck names this shit?
You got me. I mean, I think just because it's Super Nintendo. Anything about Super Nintendo, anything that came out of Super Nintendo, it had Super in front of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why. And then I was like, well, why would I want to play a ramped up version of a game that's already come out? Because I knew Ghouls and Ghosts is on Sega. If you try to buy it for Genesis, it's expensive. And then Ghosts and Goblins is on NES. Like, I don't need to play this game. It's the same thing, just better graphics. No, it is a completely different game. They're all different. So no, long story, long tirade. I have not played this one, but I thought I did, but I didn't. John?
Yeah. What is my opinion, or like what?
Have you? What was your experience?
Well, have you played this game? Like, do you have any nostalgia factor for this, or did you have any experience with this at all?
No, I played the NES one way, way, way back on a friend's console, and like we died quick, and you know he got a little ways through it. I think he got it, and then it was too hard, so he never played it. And I think I fired it up once, but that was it. So I never played this game.
Yeah, I never saw. I mean, I did see it, like, kind of like in the rental section, or I think I've saw it in like a Nintendo magazine, or yeah, the Nintendo Power magazine, but I never played this game. Like, oh well, hey, it's on the Switch. I was looking for something that's handheld that I could play, and it didn't matter. Like, I could, you know, wife or kids could be watching TV, and I could just cruise through this, breeze through. Big no, by the way. And I was trying to watch you. I'm like, I would say I'm a decent gamer. I wouldn't say I'm great by any means, but I can handle pretty difficult games for what they are. But I was dead, constantly dead, because you couldn't upgrade. Like, I just saw someone like even go through it like with just their underwear. I'm like, how did you do that?
Don't get hit at all.
Like, I was trying, like, when I was trying to, at the beginning, what I tried to do is I get the gold armor, which allowed you pretty much to turn your weapons into their ultimate version. And even then, it was a struggle fest. If it wasn't for the rewind section, I'm like, okay, well, I jumped like this. I guess I can't jump like that. Oh, okay, can't jump here. Kept on getting friggin' swept on the second stage by the friggin' waves every time. Like, Jesus Christ, I picked a game that's like, it was fun, but it wasn't at the same time. Like, it was, I think it was more or less like, it was fun because I liked the challenge. I wanted to beat it. But then it just got like to the point where like, oh, I can't do this. I need to play something where I can get some type of satisfaction in beating it and some type of euphoric. Like, I'm not saying it's masochist, but pretty much playing this game, if you don't know what you're doing, that's pretty much what you are. So, John, Matt, actually, you probably really enjoyed it and probably got off on this.
I had a weird relationship with this game, not going to lie. So, I hated it. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely hated it. But I liked it at the same time. Like, when I was playing this game, it wasn't like something where I was like, oh, I'm really just, you know, lounging around and enjoying a good time. Like, it bothered me. I couldn't get far. It haunted me. And I kept returning to it, and I couldn't put it down, but I was terrible at it. And I'm no stranger to stuff like this. I mean, I am a avid Castlevania fan, and I can see some parallels. We can talk about that later. And you know, I love all the Ninja Gaiden, so like I'm no stranger to hard games. But this thing, it's not cheap. I would phrase it that way. It is well made for what it is, and that is an extremely well thought and punishing, just absolutely punishing game. There is, You mentioned like arcade, like rentals. You know, you saw it at a rental shop. Can you imagine being the parent that just sees the cover of this thing? Like, oh, it's a knight and he's got a shield. Like, that's pretty cool. Ghouls and Ghosts. You know, little Timmy's going to love this game. Can you imagine mom bringing home this game for little Timmy? Timmy's going to cry. Timmy's going to cry all weekend for this thing.
Wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I had no problem. Like, the villains were actually the easier part.
The bosses?
I felt. Yeah. Like, the bosses were, like, at least it was stationary or something. Like, there was something you could do, but, like, the enemies, like, random spawns, and, like, some I felt like didn't really take hits at all. Especially, like, the freaking, what was it? The skull snake thing?
Yeah.
That had fire around it?
Yeah.
I think it was a real...
Yeah, on the first level, there were some tough ones. Yeah. I think the boss fights, yeah, you could get a rhythm down, and they weren't as bad as, like, getting swarmed in the middle of a level, because there was a lot of maneuvering you had to do, and also guard your backside and keep the enemies away, because they were relentless.
What added a lot to the difficulty, it controls, and I'm not gonna shit on the game's controls. They're fine for how they work, but if you're playing a game, you know, you're playing Mega Man, you have a lot of control. Like, once you start your jump, you have control over the trajectory. In this game, you commit. So it's very similar to Castlevania. You know, you jump in Castlevania, it's a very deliberate game. So don't jump unless you know what you're doing and you have a game plan. But in this, it's like they tried to merge it. So you have a game that's extremely frantic and your jumping is very deliberate. So I found the controls were, again, they were good for what they were, but just the style that brought about, my God, it made it hard. Like, every jump, like, you had to think fast and you were committed. Whatever you started, you were going to finish.
Some of them had to stretch out too, like the double jump. It took the whole length of that. You know, if you wanted to change your mind or you had to dodge something in midair, you'd just fall instead.
And the double jump's new on this. That was not in the other one.
So they added a double jump, but from the other one, you were able to actually attack up.
Yep.
So that's something they took away from this. I'm like, really? You attack up? So you literally made it a Mega Man game.
You don't need to shoot up. No need to that.
I made it hard too. Like, I think if they did have, like, be able to shoot up, that would probably actually help this greatly. And that committing to that jump, like, it's like, I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, we as humans can't commit to, if we commit to a jump, it's not like we're going to randomly, like, change directions in midair. But, I mean, good Lord, there's no forgiveness. I've read a thing where a guy wrote about this. He's like, this game is hard, but it's not unfair. Would you agree with that statement?
I would. I think it is. There's an excessive amount of thought put into where every bad guy is and where everything you need to do is doable. However, we're mortals, so we're probably not going to.
Yeah.
I'd say I didn't feel like it was unfair. I just feel like it was just super hard. And if I probably played this over and over and over, I'd get a rhythm down and understand how the everything worked completely. Being didn't want to put too much time in this game just because recently I got a new game. I'm like, oh well, I can't put everything into this. One thing I like, because you said you did could do a comparative of to Castlevania. It, you know what reminded me of this being Castlevania? Is how they showed you the map at the beginning.
Yes. Yep.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like they showed you the whole thing. They show you all the one big level, the first part. Like, oh, there's this little part. I'm like, oh, like when I first initiated, I'm like, oh, I just have to run through all this and get to the castle and I'm done. Nope. Like, it's like that. I'm like, oh, that's an easy, simple map. No, they just extend the whole damn thing of it.
And I'm sure we'll get to this a little bit as we dig in a little deeper, but that map is utterly meaningless because you got to do most of it again.
That sucked. Oh my God.
They lied to you. I mean, they hate you. That's really what this game tells people is that we hate you.
Like, I don't think they even, like, this is probably one that they took from Japan and they just didn't like, oh, we're not going to dumb this down at all. You're getting what they played. I mean, the first level was just like, it was like, I literally played the first level and I didn't pick up the game for like two or three days. Like, F this, I died 30 times. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah. I think I beat the first level after repeating myself a lot. And then from there on out, I used the save state and, rewind.
I managed to get to the third level with no save states or rewinds. That was the best I could accomplish. I had to laugh. So there's Nick. You picked a good time to pick this game because we're gonna miss it a little bit. But they're coming out with the fifth one in the series, and it's gonna drop sometime in February. So I think we're gonna miss it. We might make it. We might actually have this drop right around the time. So we may be okay. But I was watching the trailer for it, and I had to laugh because like the first YouTube comment on like the official trailer, I don't know who the hell wrote this, but they're absolutely brilliant. They're like, "Oh, I can't wait to play this game and never see anything past the second level." I'm like, "Yep, that's my experience."
yeah. I mean, going through, it's a real blur. Like, I can't even remember We put this off a little bit long, so I think it's been like 3 weeks since we last recorded, right?
Yeah.
A little bit longer, maybe a month.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So, you know, things came up. So I beat it within like the first 2 weeks. I went through, did what John did, save state, / rewind, took a break, played some Zelda, and I didn't really pick it up there. So I actually had to rewatch some of the stuff. I'm like, oh, how did I do that again? You know, what did I do? Stage two. Stage two wasn't even really hard. It was annoying.
So
jumping on that was hard, man.
So go back to the first one real quick, right? So the first level is, I think, the same kind of setup, and I think it's why I get all these games mixed up. It's, you know, you're in the dark, and then there's zombies jumping up out of their ground, and then there's the tidal wave part that you mentioned. And then the game kind of deviates after that. Like, all the games are different from like the second level on. So the second level is, what would you describe this? A pirate level and a water level? How would you?
It was like you had to go across the water. Well, not in water. You're going into like what I could only imagine is their equivalent of like the tides coming in, and you're trying to reach this area before the tide completely comes in. Because what would happen is you'd run across, and this is all to the ship. We get the ship. Is you would have to get onto these certain parts of there, and if you didn't get onto these platforms, the tide would come in, the water, a wave would come in and wash out part of the level.
Yeah, you're still on the first level. Yeah, that was I died so many times on that.
So there, then the second one, that first level, and then you get into the second one level is the ship. Yeah, we're on kind of like a pirate ship, which. I'm like, why is there a pirate ship here? What does this have to do with the castle? This has, like, I'm like, I can understand if you're going through the grounds and then maybe, like, okay, we'll go through the grounds. We have to get to the castle. Okay, we'll have to go through the keep, or we'll have to go through a graveyard.
Apparently, it's right before you get to the demon realm. So I think you crash your ship or whatever, it crashes, and then you go into the.
This series could have done well with cutscenes.
Yeah.
Maybe explain the story off a little bit.
I say no. I like that it hates you, and it doesn't want to be modern at all. It hates you. This game doesn't want you to know the story. It just wants to inflict pain on you.
Well, it inflicts a lot of pain.
Oh,
a lot of pain.
We didn't go over. So I'm scrolling yep. through my notes before I get, because I have my levels written out and all that other bullshit.
Yeah.
Weapons and armor. I don't think we discussed how that worked.
Oh, you want to go over some weapons and armor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just random drops. That's all it really is. For the weapons, I mean, there's some really good weapons. I mean, I kept it in the first level. Like, I watched some guy do this, and how he got through is he pretty much milked out an area. He pretty much wait for the ultimate armor, the golden armor to drop. And that's how I went about the game. I'm like, oh, I'll just wait for the golden armor to drop.
Can you go straight from the normal armor that you typically have straight to gold, or do you have to go through green first?
I didn't even touch green. I didn't have a green armor really? At all. I went straight to the gold armor.
Well, that's bullshit. That was the only thing that saved me in this is like I was playing around on the first level and I got lucky. So I went to the green armor, which I think is like magic. So the green armor gives you the ability to upgrade your weapons. You have like they're souped up a little bit. And then the gold armor, your weapons are souped up like the green, and they give you like a charge up magic attack. And that gold armor is sick.
Yeah, I waited for the gold armor. It's like, oh, it finally dropped. I'm like, okay, fantastic, go. And I went from there and went on there.
And this game's cool too, because like you only have, it's not like you have a health bar. Like your armor is your health bar. So like you get hit, you're down in your skivvies, and then you get hit again, you're dead.
Yeah. What was your favorite weapon?
Dagger.
Yeah.
Dagger for me. And then the power, what is it, the bracelet through the second, when you replay the second time?
Yeah, I remember that thing was pretty nasty.
It just looked like, what's it called? From Street Fighter? Ryu?
Hadouken!
It looked like a Hadouken. And Capcom, hey, there we go.
Yeah. They're probably still like, hey, we don't want to reuse any sprites. Where can we steal it from?
Yeah, dude, like the weapons besides those, they were not easy to use.
I found most, other than the dagger, and I was in the same boat. I tried to play the game like going through, using the weapons, hoping that something was good. Man, dagger or boss, the other ones all had, every weapon in the game other than the dagger, in my opinion, had a really bad drawback to it that just it got my ass kicked.
Yeah. Lance wasn't too bad.
No, your standard. No, the Lance was okay.
Yeah, it was a nice little laser beam that went across. The flaming laser or flaming lance.
So like the crossbow was a pain in the ass because you can't shoot straight. Everything is angled upwards. So like when the
zombies had to kneel down.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about the armor because I think I just got to gold, and you know I kept it the whole way through because I safe stated. So I didn't drop back down below, so I forgot that there were, like, different iterations of the weapons, or different levels.
And then you had two different shields, too. You had the moon and the sun shield. And obviously the sun shield was actually the better of those two shields there. Yeah. But I didn't really pay attention to it. Like, I didn't really know this. I mean, I was like, oh, gold armor, I'll need that. But I guess with the shields, the sun shield was the upgrade, and again, random drop, so you'd have to be kind of lucky. But it could take up to 3 hits before shattering as well. And the magic charge-up speed was increased as well.
I know on those shields, you have to be standing perfectly still. Because if you're just like running with them, that shield's not up and you're getting hit.
Yeah, and I was just, and the thing with this game, it was like you said, it's a running gun, so I didn't really notice. It didn't really matter to me because I was constantly moving. Like, why would I want to stay? I can't stay still. I'm going to die. So
yeah, with the shields, it's kind of one of those things. I think if we were playing legitimately, which we're not of that caliber,
no,
you know, it'd be a good like, oh no shit, means. You know, it saved me. But in this case, it's well, we have save state and rewind. I'm not even going down that road. I mean, I'm going to rewind if anything touches me that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the weapons go, I hated, what one did I hate? The axe was a pain in the ass because if I got
the
it had that like, kind of like a pinwheel style.
Missed.
Like, it kind of rolled around.
You could miss it.
I couldn't hit things. The torches were like, I thought were useful in the first level, and then beyond that, like the torch I thought was useless. The scythe was kind of cool. That thing followed the ground. It was a little on the slow end. And then what else was there? Axe? No, the axe was the thing that rolled. There's like a boomerang style weapon, but I didn't get that often either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kept with a dagger. Like, I found what I liked, and I'm like, oh, let's keep this dagger. Maybe you're taking the tri-blade?
Maybe.
Which when it was upgraded, was a shuriken?
I think that may be it, yeah. Yep, that is it. I was in the same boat. And so one thing that I think this does better than Castlevania or is a little more fair in the sense that it gives you something. If you die, you start with the weapon you've got. So once you get the dagger, if you get your ass kicked, it's not like you're starting with no weapon and then you've got to seek out that weapon again. You can at least start back with the dagger. I mean, that's what I did. I kept going until I got the dagger. And I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to go.
Yep. Yeah, they offered you a little bit of a lifeboat, but, you know, we cheated, so we didn't need it.
which is stupid, because, like, if you rewind back, I mean, this episode's where I think you were talking about how you safe stated, and I just proceeded to shit on you about it. And then fast forward, and it's like, yeah, I lived and died by that freaking rewind.
There's a threshold on some of these games where it's like, you just gotta do it for the continuity, you know, we can't stop playing the game.
Now, to be fair, on our list of, like, when I do our 2021, like, did we beat it or did we not? I'm sorry, but this game, we're all getting clown faces right across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we didn't beat this game.
No, this game beat us. it beat us with a big giant cock, pretty much. Yeah.
That's getting beaten with a big... So, beaten with a big giant cock, that was level 3 for me. When I got to level 3, that thing just, like, pulled it out and just bludgeoned me with it.
Whatever that level was.
Matt, I wish you would have been like, Nick, are you sure? Well, I think you actually did.
You did.
I think you're like, are you sure? I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
I kind
of
coaxed you because I was like, maybe he wants to play Demon's Crest. Because that game's a spinoff series. So, like, you know the annoying red devils that fly around and have that weird trajectory? They gave his name's Firebrand. I can't remember what he goes by in the Japanese one, but they gave him his own series. Like over here, it's Gargoyle's Quest. And then the third game in the series is Demon's Crest, and that's on Switch. And that game's really cool. It's kind of like a Metroidvania game. Like that game's, you can't find it in the wild. It's expensive as hell, but it's on Switch. So I was like, maybe Nick wants that one. That is more of our speed. And you're like, nope. I want to inflict pain.
I mean, how bad you must have laughed after as soon as I confirmed, you're like, oh my.
I did not want to stop it because I wanted to hear John go off on it. I mean, I figured, but he gets the rewind. See, that's the problem is you got to pick a game that's not on Switch Online and it's on something that he's going to have to play on the Pocket Go, so he has to get pissed about it.
Yeah. I'm glad it was on the Switch. That's all I can say.
Now, how did you play? I have a Switch Lite, so I played with my Switch Lite. And I don't know if that made things a little harder because I didn't have a traditional controller.
I played it handheld the whole time.
You did?
Yeah.
I alternated. I did it both ways.
Did you find it easier or harder at all?
Well, the Switch, when you have the Switch and you're playing handheld mode, and let's say you don't have a special set of Joy-Cons, you're just classic, you know... They don't have a D-pad, it's just buttons, so that kind of sucks. It's really not suited. It was actually, I'll be honest, it's a terrible design choice on Nintendo's part. Like, they went for gimmick and not for comfort. But I mean, I got used to it. I mean, I played other games like that, but, you know, the Pro Controller was really, you know, if I could steal the TV away, I feel like I did a lot better when I was using that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if this game would play better if it was playing with a traditional controller or even playing it on the original system, if it would play better.
I've got to wonder, honestly, and again, we suck regardless, so it doesn't matter. But if you find like a speedrunner or someone who really knows what they're doing, I got to wonder in a game like this if like the input lag, not that the Switch is all that bad on input lag. I mean, it's actually, you can do a lot worse, but... I've got to wonder if they're not playing that game on a CRT, if it's just like this is unplayable to them. Timing is so important in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like if you, like we said earlier, the jump factor.
They I was listening to a speedrunner and they were talking about how the chests work, and it's like the chests are based on what you have for a weapon or what your current setup is, but then they change every 4 frames, I think is what the guy was saying. So these speedrunners know, they can in their head figure out where they are and how many frames they've got to be and what motions they have to be to get to the chest to make sure they always get the thing they want. So I got to wonder if they're sitting on a switch and it's like, yeah, everything's off, you know. To us, to us, we suck. It doesn't matter anyway. But to those guys that, you know, they're playing on classic hardware, I mean, it's got to be everything.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, once you got to a certain power-up stage, all the chests were the wizard or, you know, the little monster that hid inside it, right?
So that was great. What'd you guys think the first time that guy jumped up and then blasted you?
That was weird.
I was pissed. Happened to me twice in a row.
What did he turn you into? Because I heard there's different things you can.
He turned me into a chick.
Yep.
It looks like Goldilocks.
That's what I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think I got turned into a rabbit as well.
One of the games, I don't know if it's this one, but you get turned into a baby. I don't know if it was in this one or not.
That's in the old one, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. I remember that.
It's fucking sadistic.
Yeah, that was hard. Yeah, that level where you're in, like, Satan's intestines really was tough.
Oh, level 4. That was weird.
Yeah. It rotates around and you have to, like, jump on a ribcage platform.
I have a conspiracy theory on this. I got my tinfoil hat on. So, when Castlevania 4 came out, Super Castlevania 4, the fourth level is one that's got like a ton of like the Super Nintendo, you know, the rotation mode 7, like, oh, we're going to show up. You know, we're going to slap our dick on the table. This game also on the fourth level is a ton of like Super Nintendo. We're going to rotate this and show how cool we are. I wonder if it's a Capcom Konami dick measuring competition. That's my theory.
It's possible. I bet it is.
I don't know which game came up first. So, I don't know who's flopping harder, but
yeah,
I found that boss easy though. The centipede. That was the third level one. Never mind. The centipede boss was really easy. The one that just like kept curling around you and you just stood there and shot it.
I mean, yeah. You could. I think a lot of them weren't overly hard. Like they had a pattern you could figure out fairly quickly.
I didn't struggle on any boss until I got near the end. Those like guys that had like the smiling crotch pants that shot fire at you.
Oh, I got a screenshot of that, by the way. I'm gonna send you.
Yeah, that very final boss was a pain. The guy before him, like the ice sculpture guy, that just got angry and walked back and forth. I don't know. He was terrible. But dude, you have to. I watched the guy beat the final boss, and it's really easy when you just stand like right on. Like at the backside of his boot, and then you wait for the platforms to loop around once, and then you jump, and you connect on either one of the platforms because that's where they intersect, and then it just takes you up, and he's done firing his snot rockets, so you just hit him a few times, and you repeat that like 10 times, and you're done.
The damn laser kept getting me. Like that was a like, rewind fest.
Like, did this guy have like? Because when that happened, I'm like. Like, does he have crabs or something? Did he have, like, something going on with a fire coming out of his pants?
Oh, the guy before it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's...
Like, what's going on?
It's a fire crotch.
Like, I watched him, like, how does this... I watch it from start to finish. I'm like, how does someone do this? And like I said, I watch a guy do it with just his in his underwear. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I kept on searching for like okay, I need a best armor. I just need a best armor. I just need to hold onto that armor.
If you stand on that exact same spot every time, then you don't get hit.
And that's why I'd argue this is a well-made game. Just because when I was playing through the first level, when you first unleashed this upon us, I was like, oh, I fucking hate this game. This game sucks. And then what I found is like, as I learned how things work, I could always inch a little further. Like, oh, I know I need to jump just at this right time. Like on that first level, like the little skull carts kept rolling down. I kept getting wrecked on those.
Yeah.
And it was kind of at that point, it's like, all right, the game is consistent in what it's doing to me. I'm just sucking. And that's like, all right, I have to respect something that's like that. I have to... It's not the game, it's me. I felt that way the whole way through.
Oh yeah, I mean, one thing I admire about this game, I think the audio was actually really good. Yeah, I played it on the Switch. I thought the audio actually carried through really well. I liked the monster design, and I thought that graphically it felt really good. Like anything, like besides the fact of what happened, it was bad, like as far as like the gameplay I had a hard time with, but everything else was great. Like it looked really well, it did actually play well besides the fact of the jump, but like it was so hard. Like aesthetically it was pleasing to ears play. It really actually made me feel like I was playing as a kid again, playing the game, just getting frustrated and having a hard time with it. But it was like, it's a solid game. It was really solid, really challenging. Like, I'm probably gonna actually keep on going back and back to it until I don't have to use rewind to beat the game.
And that's, I think, the sign of a well-designed game, in that you can say that, you know, if I had one complaint, and it's a symptom of every early Super Nintendo game, and in this game and a lot of shooters, for example, it works to your advantage. They hadn't really figured out Super Nintendo hardware all that well at this point, so in a lot of sections you'd end up with some pretty severe slowdown. Yeah. In a game like this, it's like I welcomed it. It's like, oh, thank God, there's like 50,000 things on the screen. I can actually think what I need to do. But I mean, I guess that's one. If I had one complaint, it would be that there is some slowdown.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this game, I mean, there's, you go through 7 stages, and then you have your final boss stages, which is the throne room. And also the way, because we try, what, a couple hours on a game. We don't want a game beat, unless it's one of our bigger ones. We try to keep it under, you know, a few hours, like 5 hours, I think is our max. I'm like, oh, I saw someone beat this in an hour. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a nice, easy game.
5 hours is our max?
Oh, I have not been playing by that rule.
Well, no, like, I think we've stayed in the cap of trying to keep games within like a 5 hour beat time for most of them.
I've been doing 10 to 12. Star Fox.
23 hour Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, fuck you, Nick.
That was our long game, guys.
Yeah, retroactively, okay. You dick.
And if you, and yeah, I gotta go play that again. That's a good game. Solid game. I'm by the way, there will be a Final Fantasy Tactics Advance coming out, coming for us.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
2027, I'll be dead.
I still, you know, going back to our one of our previous episodes, I still think that we do a Final Fantasy 3 or 6 if you're a Puritan episode. And in that episode, we all wear Depends. And John and I just keep going until one of us, because we can talk about that game for 4 hours straight. Just keep going until we end up crapping and pissing ourselves. I feel like that's – give the listeners what they want. People, grown-ass men peeing themselves while talking.
So, Matt, you said there's another Ghosts and Goblins coming out, or Ghosts and Ghouls?
Yeah, well, yeah, because who could tell what the hell with the naming convention? It's Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection, and it's coming out in the month of – so I think this episode's dropping sometime in February, so we might get out ahead of it. I don't know. I think it's like February 25th is when it drops.
Let's see. I'll do a little. Let's take a quick look gander at this bad boy.
Some people were complaining about the art style. I don't have a problem with it, but I can see.
Oh, I can see why they're having problems with it. It's, well, it looks, I kind of like the color. It looks like a cartoon. Well, I don't know. It kind of looks like a book coming to life.
Yeah.
Like images on books.
It's kind of like a Monty Python.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if it's just me, but I got Monty Python vibes from this game when I played it.
You know what you can do with this one? That you couldn't do with the one we're playing?
Shoot up.
Shoot up, shoot up.
But I like how when they're advertising, if you watch the trailer, it's like, you know, be prepared to die. You know,
like, they know. That's what I was about to say. I'm like, looking at this, I'm like, prepared to die. I'm like, oh, so they know how much of a dick they are.
Yeah, they're not hiding it, which I respect. Like, don't water gaming down because we're a generation of participation trophies. Like, there's got to be something out there where make people work for it. I respect them for it. That's my, you know, grumpy old man get off my lawn speech for the night.
Yeah, I mean, this game was really solid. I'm sorry I picked. Oops, sorry for the sound. I'm sorry I picked this up and put you guys through this. I actually did feel bad about it because I'm like, oh, what was I thinking?
What have I done?
What did I like? And you knew exactly what I did, and you're like, oh, Nick, you're probably like, thank you for doing this to John.
That's like half of the dynamic of this show is just laughing at each other's misery when somebody picks a game.
I've come to accept that this is going to happen, so I don't get as bothered as I used to.
Like, I didn't beat, and John, honestly, I did not pick this for, because I was like, oh, I'm going to be a super C to John, and I'm like, I'll just, you know, pick a game that's going to be, like, we can all chill and play on the Switch. And I'm like, then I'm starting to play, I'm like, oh, oh, snap. Why is this guy's crotch putting breathing fire on me?
I like to think of this as like, if you were a drunk person swinging around like a wiffle ball bat, for example, and John was in the vicinity, I just didn't tell John to watch out. I just watched John get smacked in the nuts with a wiffle ball bat. That's kind of how I envisioned what had happened with this.
I like that.
It's a
good comparison.
It's payback for fucking Body Harvest.
Yeah. Payback for that time I didn't help you up when you twisted your knee playing Dizzy Bat.
You bastard.
Okay, so I'm going to do something for you guys, by the way. Because that fire crotch guy, I'm bringing Gwyneth Paltrow back into it.
Oh, 2021!
2021 is starting with some Gwen. And her recent thing of a vagina candle, that's what was happening with this guy. He had a vagina candle out there, and every time he would, it was just fire coming out of his crotch.
Yeah, but you don't, it's not like a fleshlight. You don't put the vagina candle down your pants. I mean, maybe people do. Well, maybe that's.
I don't know what this guy did, but I mean, it kind of does look like Gwyneth Paltrow, the end result, right?
Smells the same. Nope. Put her down there.
So there you go.
I've had too much to drink.
I'm going
to
get a cease and desist.
From your humble beginnings.
Yeah. So, brought it back. But overall, what would you guys, I mean, even though none of us beat this game, what would you honestly rate this out of, 10?
6, 7.
Matt?
I liked it. The stuff was fun. I think Matt went to check something.
Oh. I would give this a solid 8.
Nah. I don't know. It was too difficult. If they had dumbed it down just a little bit, I'd give it a
But I don't think
grade.
They should. I think they didn't have to. If they dumbed it down, what they're doing is they're like, okay, you guys, let's make this easy so you can beat it. You know, let's give you a participation trophy. And this game's like, no.
Well, no. I mean, you can go down like 10 to 20% and it would still be hard and challenging, but easier to play.
Well, I don't think I had to do that. So
I'm back. Holy shit, that was almost cat. We need a backup system. Oh my god, we got to figure that out. Fuck.
John said he'd do about 6 or 7 out of 10. He said the
let me give some, you know, substance to that. Okay.
Yeah, substance. Yeah, get some substance.
So I'm rating this a 6.5 out of 10 just because it got a little redundant with the onslaught of things. I liked the boss fights. I liked the level design. I liked the music. The final boss, that just finding out that you could beat it real quick like that, even, you know, learning the trick, it was too easy. But yeah, 6.5, just the levels themselves were annoying.
Alrighty. And math.
So, if I had to rate this a number, and I struggle with number systems.
It's just the school system you came from.
We're going to do math there. I'd give it an 8. I'd give it an 8.
Oh, man, I love you.
But here's the thing. That 8 is an 8 from me. Because I would give it more. I'd give it bonus points. It's kind of like that kid that does extra stuff to get their grade up at school.
Check plus.
Like, I would get this. The fact that this hates the player so much, and it is, you know, the third in the series when things started to get soft. Like, really, NES was hard. Super Nintendo things eased up, and this thing said, "No, we're not going down that road. You're gonna play by our rules, or it's not for you." I like that.
We don't give out participation trophies.
Yeah. Suck it up, Buttercup. So I think for me, I would view this game as an 8, but. If I could give it a qualifier, I'm so happy it exists, and I'm so happy for what it is attempting to do. I wish more games, and I think that's a trend that we're seeing now, is there's a lot of games coming back that they're, I don't know, pretty much anything after like Dark Souls, Demon Souls, they kind of brought this like, I don't care about you, the player, get good or shut up. I'm happy that's coming back. So this series is it kind of carried that torch for a while. Good for it.
Yeah, same rating for me, Matt. I gave this 8 as well. Like, the other games we played that I had no knowledge or background with playing, you know, I always say nostalgia factor is a big part of playing retro games. Any of these retro games. And what this game did, and because I had no, you know, association with it, it brought that nostalgia factor in. Like, I felt like when I was playing this, I'm like, okay, I'm 10 years old. How the hell am I going to do this? Am I just going to keep on going and going until I, you know, by the 100th time, maybe I finally got through the first stage? You know, it made me want to keep on playing. It's a very addicting game to play. Graphically, it's really still pleasing to the eye. It holds up. You know, looks really good. The sound quality was really good on the Switch. Controls weren't too bad. Again, played the handheld version, setup for my Switch. A solid 8. And I, again, like you, Matt, I really enjoyed and I really respected, actually, how hard this game was. And that it was not a, okay, we're going to dumb down the system, dumb this down, just to make it so you can play it and beat it so you feel accomplished. It's like you said, get good or put down the game and just don't do it because you're too much of a pussy. There's no participation trophies here. And I respect that.
Yeah.
So will I probably ever actually really get to beat this game? Probably not. I mean, I'd have to put some good time into this. And I don't know if I can do that with our game lineup that we have coming on.
Yeah, we got some doozies.
Yeah, which leads me into what's coming up next, boys. Who's next? Who's next on the chopping block?
Next is me.
Whoa, Matt, what you got for us?
So here's the thing. Again, we'll have to see. So my plan is that we will tackle the Sega Saturn classic, Nights into Dreams. Now, none of us have a Saturn. I've been looking at them. So, you know, we have the version on Steam. I'm hoping that you guys have tested it or you believe your computers can run it. I have the old, I have the oldest, crappiest computer out of all of us here. So if I can run it, I feel like you guys can. It shouldn't be a problem. So
yeah, we should be good.
So barring any unforeseen computer problems, nights into dreams, and if not, I'll have to figure something out. I've won.
No, Matt, because you played it a little bit. Have you double checked if you can set up a controller?
Yeah, I'm playing. I'm using my 360 controller.
Okay, good. I just
want
to see if
you're
going to
want an analog stick with it. I mean, it was. And we'll get into that when we get into the episode, but it was it launched with Sega Saturn's first analog stick controller. So you're going to want something that has a stick.
Okay. Nice, nice. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you guys for listening today. Don't forget to drop a comment, rate us, send all your nasty comments and letters to John. He handles that. That's his department. Also, don't forget to follow us on our social media. Matt, social media?
Instagram, Twitter, spin-retro. We've been active there, not as much recently, just because coming out of the holidays, we're still, you know, we're in January trying to get, as recording, trying to get
coming out of the holidays. We're coming out of the holidays. We're coming out of election year, too.
There's too much going on. It's too much going
on. Too much going on.
So now, things are settled, we can get back to posting really stupid things. One thing I'm eager to pick back up is my low effort meme Friday. And most of those are just making fun of YouTube using the dumbest low effort memes I can find. So I'd like to continue that.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, guys, thank you again for listening. Have a good one. See you on the other side.